Zoo. Thank you.
Now, if the fight was physical, these two would dominate. You know, they're both, Edgy's a martial artist. Kathy's quite a fighter, okay? That would be no problem. But the fight we fight is, it's on our knees and in the Word of God. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, the Bible says. We've got to use what's at our disposal. And so we fight on our knees. We wrestle against powers and principalities and hosts of wickedness in high places. And there's a lot of wickedness in Brazil. I mean, throughout the world, but there's a lot of animism and false religions that just permeate that culture, spiritism and things like that. So they're fighting against those things all the time. So let's fight with them in prayer right now. Let's do that. So dear God, thank you. Thank you for our friends, Kathy and Edgy, Lord, who you have sent to the outermost parts, God. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would continue to give them strength, endurance, wisdom, and above all things, love, that they would love these kids to you, Jesus, by the preaching of the gospel, Lord, and that many would continue to be saved. So God, help them. Help us to stand with them. Even as we pray with them, Lord, let us remember them continually as they're out there with the kids, Lord, where it's very hot and it's very tiring, Lord. Please give them endurance to finish the race, the course that you set before them. Whether that's 2 years or 20 years, Lord, we don't know. But God, help them to finish strong. And we thank you that you've allowed us to join with them through our prayers, through the giving of our finances and all these things, Lord. We stand as the body of Christ in a dark and dying world. So God, thank you, Jesus, for being the name above all names that saves to the uttermost, Lord. We praise you. We pray it all in your name. Amen. 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 Kathy and Edgy, Ribeiro. Wow. Man, oh man. So it was Austin Boggin in 1967, and it's Kathy and Edgy Ribeiro, 2022. Hey, they brought us some treats. I brought them up here. It looks like I'm offering a gift on the altar, but this is actually little Brazilian coffee candy. And so if I see any of you getting tired, I'm gonna throw one at you. Okay, this is like the equivalent of one cup of coffee right in here. So that's why I had four of them before I started preaching today. So I'm ready. I'm not gonna fall. No. But these are available to you afterwards. In addition to breads, and this being the fourth Sunday, it's our celebration Sunday of all the birthdays of April. So there is no lack of carbohydrates back there. So coffee, candy, cake, wow, you know, there's going to be something to be fired up about. So Nick, I'm going to take a handful of these. You put these back by the back table. Okay, or on the way, if you want to pass one to David, Sophie, that's fine. You know, just anybody who needs one, okay? Right there, okay? Yeah. Wow. Hey, last week was Easter. You know that, of course. We were here enjoying so many promises of God, and again, our high day of the calendar, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a great celebration. We celebrate a lot of things in life, but the one thing we ought to celebrate more than anything is the risen Savior. And as Paul said, Christ is risen from the dead, and in Christ all shall be made alive. So because Christ is risen, we too shall rise again, Josh. And one day we're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. No more tears or death or suffering, because the former things, Jesus said, are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. And that's going to be a great day. But that day is not here yet. We're still here. And the Bible calls us pilgrims, peregrinos. We're just passing through. And like the Jeffersons sang in 1975, we're moving on up. We're moving on up. And that's where we're going. We know we're going to heaven, But what do we do in the meantime? Because we're not there yet. Well, yes, exactly right. We abide in Christ Jesus, first and foremost. We stay connected, as we said earlier, to Jesus Christ through prayers, through the reading of the Word of God, through our fellowship with one another, coming alongside a young woman, a young man, and discipling them, standing with them like a young tree. You become that support to them so they grow up straight and strong. All this, of course, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We serve others. We witness Christ. So we abide in Christ. He's the vine. We're the branches. You stay connected. But then you move. The Bible says we're to walk as Jesus walked. How did he walk? In love. Seeking those who were lost. Seeking and saving the lost. And we do that. We actively look for people, like you're doing, that need Jesus Christ. They've never come into a relationship with him. And we do that in all kinds of creative ways. We walk in the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We walk in the light, as John says. We move away from the darkness. We walk with Jesus. If we walk with Jesus, we're walking in the light. And then the writer of Hebrews, which we're going to be in for 16 weeks, right before James, so you're just going to turn back a few pages. The writer of Hebrews says, we're to throw off every weight and the sin that so easily trips us up. And we're to run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, which would be us, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So we spend time with Jesus. We walk. We throw off those sins that seem to trip us up. We run with endurance the race that is set before us. We reckon the old man dead, or another word that we use now, we regard the old person I was. We say, that person's dead. I'm alive in Christ. I'm not going back to that anymore. I'm not going to do those things any longer. And my favorite, we wrestle. We wrestle against powers and principalities, against rulers, hosts of wickedness in high places. We just said that. We're standing with Kathy and Edgy wrestling through prayer in all these things. So the Christian life is not a passive, sit back and watch it happen kind of life. It's very active. Walking, running, wrestling. These are good things. And we've got work to do right now. We're going to help one another abide in Christ through the reading of his word. We're going to open, again, our Bibles to the letter to the Hebrews. Because, you know, I was thinking, how do you top Easter? How do you top the resurrection? Well, the only way you top it, as I mentioned, is by the man behind the resurrection, that's Jesus Christ. The risen Christ himself is greater than Easter. He's more than the resurrection. Now, what he did is amazing, of course. The only one, the first fruits of the resurrection, the only one to ever rise again, never to die again. But who he is, in all his fullness, is even greater. Just as the one we read last week who built the house is greater than the house. So although we admire the resurrection, we say, wow, what a great thing. We put our admiration to Jesus above all things because he's the name above every name. And the letter to the Hebrews, the theme of the letter is Jesus, our high priest, our prophet, our king, who fulfilled every requirement of the law of the old covenant in his own body, which is why Jesus could say his last words on earth were, it is finished. It is accomplished. I did it. Jesus is greater than everything. And so that's what you're going to see on your bulletin for 16 weeks. Because we have 16 chapters of the book of Hebrews. We're going to try to cover a chapter a week. It's a survey. An in-depth Bible study of Hebrews could take a year. So we are endeavoring on Sundays to be in the letter of Hebrews, and on Wednesdays with the guys, 16 weeks in the book of Genesis. So Genesis and Hebrews, man, it's like Bible college. We're going to learn a lot, and we're going to abide with Jesus in all these things because Jesus is in Genesis. Make no mistake about it. He's there. This letter to the Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who came to believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They were Jews under the old covenant, but they heard the gospel preached that Jesus Christ was the one promised through Abraham, through Moses, through David, through Jacob, through Isaac. He's the one. He's the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Good Friday. And they believed on him. And they entered the new covenant. They knew about the old covenant, but now they were in the new covenant. Most would say, most scholars would say that that word Hebrews comes from the word Eber, and Eber was the name given in Genesis 10 for the great-grandson of Shem. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's sons, one of them was Eber, one of the great-grandsons of Shem. And he was an ancestor of Abraham. And so we get Hebrews from Eber. The root word means from the other side. And so Abraham came from the other side as God called him to leave his land and to come to a place he'd never been before. He was an immigrant. He was a Hebrew. He's the first person ever called a Hebrew in the Bible, in Genesis 14, verse 13. And so when we think of a Hebrew, we think of anybody from that group of ancient people who can trace their lineage back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Abraham's grandson, Jacob, of course, his name was changed to Israel. And so those descendants of Jacob we call Israelites, but they're also Hebrews. So Hebrews, Israelites. Then Jacob's fourth son was named Judah. And from Judah, we get Judea or Judahites or Jews. So Hebrew, Israelite, Jew, they're very synonymous. People use them interchangeably. And this is, the letter is given to the Hebrews, those Jews who become Christians through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There you go. Now, they were in a tough place. These Hebrews were in a tough position because they had heard about Jesus Christ and the new covenant in his blood, not the blood of bulls and goats and lambs, but the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. And so they thought, well, do I leave my traditions now? Do I not have to have my son circumcised? Do I not have to keep the law of Moses any longer? What do I do? How do I embrace Jesus but not betray my heritage? And so they grapple with this. And so I don't know who it was. I have a habit of saying Paul, but we don't know who wrote the letter. It could have been Paul, many think it was, but it could have been Apollos. It could have been Barnabas. Could have been Luke. We don't know for certain. But whoever it was wrote it through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit really wrote it, but somebody wrote it down in writing that we could understand. And so the letter serves as a reassurance to all Jewish believers and to us, again, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, that he's the greatest prophet that ever lived, he's a priest, and he's a king. And that's my long intro. So now, as the writer of Hebrews says, let's read chapter 1 and consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. And let's pray one more time. Thank you, Lord, for this time. God, lead us into your word, please, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can understand these things, Lord, without the comforter, without the helper, the paraclete. We can't get it. So, Lord Jesus, fill us afresh, Lord. We know that the Spirit dwells in us. Lord, allow the Spirit to overflow in us. like on the day of Pentecost, Lord, God, that we would hear these words, understand them, and then proclaim them to a dark and dying world. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, by the way, just to put you at ease, we're gonna touch the tip of the iceberg today. I'm only going 10 more minutes or so. So there's no way we're gonna get through chapter 1. But I'm gonna focus on the first 4 verses. So here we go. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, Good Friday, we just remembered it, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus is greater than everything. And because of that, Jesus will have the last word. He'll have the final say in everything. God has in these last days, which the last days have been ever since Jesus came to this earth, we can call those the last days. In these days, he's spoken to us through his Son. He spoke to others through Moses, through Abraham, through David, through Daniel, the prophets, the Psalms. But in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son, through whom he's made heir of all things, and through whom also he made the worlds. So if that's true, if what the writer says is true, and what the Apostle John says is true, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus, that means Jesus had the first word when he spoke the world into existence, and he's going to have the last word when he says, behold, I'm coming quickly. So contrary to what some politicians think, that they have the last word with mandates and AB 2223 and ungodly, wicked laws that are put in place, they don't. Jesus Christ has the final word. You know, for some people, having the last word can be equated to winning an argument. If you get the last word, you win the argument. It shows some power and some domination. And if you happen to be married and you're a recipient of this tactic of somebody having the last word, it can be rather frustrating. Not that I would know, because, you know, we never do that. I mean, that's maybe twice. Just kidding. We do that, okay? So we can escalate an argument by trying to have the last word. Or if your kids want the last word, it drives you crazy. But many arguments among married couples and individuals, too, have escalated or gone beyond their original intention because someone wanted the last word. And so what starts out as a very civil discussion or disagreement can get ugly when somebody wants the last word. So again, I'm making a little light of it now, but it's a serious topic. But OB has a few slides for me. So last word can lead to other things. You can see that, but you know, nice couple sitting around the fire. You always insist on having the last word. Sorry, you know, or your kids might say, whatever. That's the last word. Go ahead. His last words were, why do you always have to have the last word? You know, there's her to your husband. It's supposed to be funny. Anyway, next one. There you go. Did not, did too, right? Even in the grave, they're trying to have the last word. Did not, did too. And one more. You did have the last word, the husband says, but this is a new argument. So it's a new, anyway, okay. But I thought they were funny when I read them. It was like, you know, 11 o'clock last night. Everything was funny at 11 o'clock last night. So anyway, but Jesus Christ will have the last word because he's risen, never to die. He says, hey, I'm back. I'm back. And you know what I love is that I think that's probably from Ted Neely, Jesus Christ Superstar, 1973, the best looking Jesus you'll ever see in your life. You know, he still looks good at 78. I was, you know, finding this image. And I thought, well, there's Ted Neely. That's Jesus doppelganger. You know, he looks, I mean, that's got to be it. So anyway, you know, but it's funny. The Bible says he was not coming that we would desire him. So Jesus wasn't the blue-eyed surfer Jesus. He blended in with others. He was looked like a normal guy. But he had laser eyes. That's what no, he didn't. He had regular eyes. It's regular, but anyway. In these last days, the final authority, the last word in the revelation of God is Jesus Christ, no doubt about it. And again, having the last word is powerful. I know it's made light of it a little bit, but having the last word can bring terrible consequences. And this is fresh on our mind, as Joe Romano just went to Sacramento opposing AB 2223, this heinous protecting abortion beyond the birth of the baby. It's terrible. The last word the Supreme Court had in 1973, they had the last word on legalized abortion, and of course the result is 63,459,781 abortions since then, because they had the last word in 1973. And some call it America's Holocaust, and I would agree with them. It's a terrible thing. But again, I always like to say this, but if you've gone that route, the Lord can forgive you. He has forgiven you. As you call out to him, Jesus brings healing. And it'll be amazing to see those 63.5 million babies in whatever form they're in heaven, because I'm certain they're there, no doubt about it. But again, having the last word for the past 2 years, as you just shared, Kathy, and as you, by Governor Newsom, having the last word called mandates has resulted in hundreds of overreaching restrictions and oppressive regulations placed upon schools and churches and small businesses to the extent that many could not survive. They could not survive it. And then, of course, there's an executive order. The president can have the final word on things. That can be put into law. Abraham Lincoln used an executive order to free the slaves. And then came the written order called the Emancipation Proclamation. George W. Bush gave an executive order to halt stem cell research on aborted fetuses. Another president came along and reversed that with his executive order. Yet in spite of the perceived victory of politicians and the power, again, the last word goes to Jesus Christ. And last week, we got a glimpse of it. When Jesus Christ is delivered up to Pilate, Pontius Pilate, the Jews say, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate says, you want us to crucify your king? And they say, we have no king but Caesar. And so Pilate brings Jesus back into the praetorium, into that judicial room, the judgment hall. And he says to Jesus, where did you come from? And Jesus doesn't answer him. And Pilate says, you don't answer me? Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you? And I have the power to release you? And Jesus did answer him, and he says, "You could have no power at all against me unless it was given to you from above." Jesus submitted his will to the Father, God the Father. God the Son, equal with God the Father, co-equal in the Trinity. He humbled himself, the Bible says. And he became a man. The writer of Philippians says this: "Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God the Father also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God." Jesus Christ had a lot of words. He made the worlds through a word. When he was living on earth in those 3 years of ministry, from maybe 30 years old to 33 years old, his words calmed the wind and the waves, rose Lazarus from the dead, and had the soldiers fall backwards. We just saw that last Friday when they come with their torches and their swords, and Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "I am he." And these big, gigantic soldiers, the Bible says, fall backwards. They fall down at the name of Jesus. Jesus is powerful. And he will, again, have the final say. And right now, he made the worlds, but he's holding it all together. And this is the mystery of the nucleus of an atom, where you have these positive protons and these electrons in the same area, and they ought to just repel each other. Like when you try to put two magnets together, they have a positive charge, and you cram them together. But man, it takes a lot of effort to keep them there. Well, the Bible says Jesus is upholding his creation by his word. He's keeping the nucleus together from just exploding. We've kind of figured out how to do it, nuclear fission, so that when it does unleashed, it will create a terrible explosion. And really, I guess you could say that there's an interesting thing that God created in the universe, that it kind of has a self-destruct mechanism. Because one day, according to the book of Revelation and 2 Peter, man, Jesus is going to say, "Unleash." The way Peter says it is this. He says, "Friends," I'm going to end with this, "I want to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets." This is in 2 Peter chapter 3. "And the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." He says, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires, and they're going to be saying, 'Where is this coming of Jesus that you're talking about?' For ever since the creation, our ancestors died, and everything goes on just as usual. But they forget that long ago, by God's word," the word of Jesus, "the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water, and by water, by these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." Listen to this. "The day will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." Man, fervent heat is given off when you unleash that atomic bomb, nuclear bomb, whatever you want to call it, when those atoms just repel each other and nothing can stand in its path any longer. And that it says, "in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" In other words, man, it's all going to burn one day. So Are we holding on to things more than to Jesus or to our loved ones? We ought not to be holding on to anything because it will dissolve. The only thing that will remain is our relationship with Jesus Christ, our souls, which will live forever. That's the good news. The bad news is if somebody has rejected Jesus Christ over and over and over again and their heart is hardened, man, they're going to go through these terrible things called the Great Tribulation, which we spent 8 months last year studying about. We don't want anybody to go through that. So we need to bring the words of Jesus to those who are lost so that he'll have the final word in their lives when he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me." Jesus, when did we do that? Hey, I tell you what, every time you did it to the least of my brothers, you did that to me. And you know what? You said yes to me. You received me as your Savior. When I said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die." Do you believe that? You said yes. And so you'll never go through that. But there are some who have not done that yet. So as we stand right now and pray together, if that's you, if you've never had that place where you said yes to Jesus, you've never given him the first word or the last word, man, do it now. This is the moment. So let's all stand together. And we're going to pray, we're going to sing, and then I invite you to stick around afterwards. If you have an extra minute or two, talk with Kathy and Edgy, great brothers and sisters in Christ. They've talked at you, but now talk to them. They're very kind and loving people. And they brought gifts for us, so take, that's good. But again, if you have never prayed that prayer of salvation, this is your opportunity. If you have prayed that prayer, then pray for somebody that you know that hasn't done that yet. That would be really good, as Obi runs up in emergency there. There you go. Obi, way to go. So let's pray. Thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for giving us a Sunday together to read your word, God, to abide with you, Jesus. Here we are with our brothers and sisters, Lord, of all tribes, tongues, and nations. We gather together as the body of Christ, and this is as good as it gets, this side of heaven. As we read your word, sing songs, pray, Lord, this is what you would have us to do. But Lord, we're going to walk out of here in a moment. And Lord, we ask that we would walk in love, in the Spirit, in light. Walk like you did, Jesus, looking for opportunities to share the gospel. And then, Lord, you have set a course before us. We're going to throw off the sin that trips us up, and we're going to run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then we're going to wrestle for a while against powers and principalities, against rulers of wickedness in high places. We're going to wrestle on our knees in prayer, Lord Jesus. But God, there are some here that have never spent time with you, Jesus, have run away from you, and have walked in darkness. And Lord, I'm praying right now, if there's anybody here that cannot say that you are their Savior and their Lord, that they would pray a prayer like this: Dear Jesus, I've heard your voice today in the reading of your word. I have a picture of who you are. And Jesus, I want to know you as my Savior. Please forgive me of my sins, Lord. Lord, allow your red blood to cover my dark sin and make me white as snow. Jesus, I believe you can do that. I believe you've done that, and I receive you as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. And now I'm born again of the Spirit. God, help me now to grow like a newborn baby. Help me to understand your word. Help me to pray with somebody. Help me to be with Christians more until the day I see you, Jesus. Help me to spend time with you. And God, help us now to go forth from here to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless Kathy and Edgy. Bless all of us as the body of Christ. Bless the food that we're about to eat, Lord, whether it's birthday cake or a coffee candy, whatever it is, bless it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, if that's you, if you prayed that prayer, don't hesitate. Man, come forward. Let's celebrate that. Let's pray. Make the the walk and let others know that you said yes to Jesus Christ, that you are born again. That would be a privilege for me, of course, to pray, to lift you up again, to make sure you have a Bible in your hands, and welcome you into the body of Christ. So as we sing this song again, if that's you, just come forward and let's celebrate.
May we be encouraged this week that whatever battle we're facing, Jesus has the last word. There is victory in Christ.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus, and every war he wages, he will win. And I'm not backing down from any giant, 'cause I know how this story ends. I know how this story ends. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil. You turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory.
Hey, I want to celebrate one awesome victory that we want to thank you for. Hey, we stood with John Scott and prayed. He's been searching for that job. He's an engineer, been out of work for a while. Well, he said the Lord gave him a victory this week, and he was hired by the city of Oceanside as an engineer. So praise the Lord. So we say thank you, Jesus, for the victories, great, small, and in the middle. We want to thank him for all those things. So God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Walk in the light, and talk to Kathy and Edgy too. So thanks for coming. Thank you.